Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, September 7th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 26, the second paragraph, "So he returned to this doctor," through two paragraphs, ending with, "That was a great physician's opinion." And we're reading and commenting on both paragraphs this morning. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry H., 12 Traditions, Yvonne A. Reader of the text, Shelley E. Dion R. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Lorraine N. The reference number for Tuesday, September 6, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,372. That's 19372. And for this morning, Wednesday, September 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,380. That's 19380. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Noel E., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is, that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service, Don. My name is Terry H. I'm presently at the Blue Angel Campground and the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. I will now ask Yvonne A. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Yvonne A., compulsive overeater here in BC, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized. We may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 26, the second paragraph. So he returned to this doctor through two paragraphs, ending with, "That was a great physician's opinion," reading and commenting on both paragraphs. I will now ask Shelley E. to read and share with us. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. The Big Book, page 26. So he returned to this doctor, whom he admired, and asked him point blank why he could not recover. He wished above all things to regain self-control. He seemed quite rational and well-balanced with respect to other problems, yet he had no control whatever over alcohol. Why was this? He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth, and he got it. In the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. He could never regain his position in society, and he would have to place himself under lock and key or hire a bodyguard if he expected to live long. That was the great physician's opinion. Again, Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater. So I myself found myself baffled. I know in the paragraph before this, it says, more baffling still, he could give himself no satisfactory explanation for his fall. And I know for myself, if I could have done it myself, if I could have done it by myself, or I was a very good follower of a diet, I could lose weight, but I couldn't go forward once they started introducing, oh, now you've reached that goal weight. Now you can have this, that, and the other. And it was this, that, and the other that quickly took me down. But I didn't realize that. You know, I didn't know. I sure wanted to be a member of the, you know, that group that could do those things. And it wasn't, you know, for lack of will. It wasn't for lack of wanting to. I come from a medical family. And I know my dad too was baffled. He could not understand, you know, no matter what he promised me, no matter, I could lose the weight, but I couldn't keep it off. And nobody in my family recognized it as a disease. I'm grateful that when I did finally make it into the rooms, when I heard that it was really not my fault, that there was a solution and the rooms had it, I was just taken aback. I had no idea that it wasn't just a failing of mine. I'm sure for me, I will say, my disease comes to me as a friend. It presents itself as my buddy, my pal. And it's the thing, it was the thing I could rely on. If all else failed, I could rely on my disease. And so I have to constantly be on the lookout for that little disease on my shoulder that will say, hey, remember how you could do this? And then I think, yeah, you know, knock it off. I have a higher power, and my higher power is really my buddy, my friend now. And so anyways, with that, I'll pass, and I look forward to hearing everybody's shares on this. Thanks so much for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Shelley E., for sharing with us. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on these two paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning? It's a great time to jump in and share.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Carrie G.
What, who was the Josie?
Carrie Josie.
Carrie Josie. And who is the other person?
Carrie G.
Carrie G.
Kim L.
Was that Linda L.?
No, Kim L. Thank
oh,
you.
Kim L. Very good.
And
Candy P.
Robin Joby.
Robin Joby.
Kim T.
And Kim T. Let's stop there. Okay, I have Janice K., Carrie Josie, Carrie G., Kim L., Candy P., Robin Joby, and Kim T. So Janice K., please get us started.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. And the first paragraph, is the pickle wanting to go back to being a cucumber. This is a place where I can hide, where I used to hide. This is the place where I go to and I say, gee, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just know something's wrong. Somebody, somewhere, fix me because I can't do it. Which is, you know, basically true, but I am expecting a person, place, or thing of this world to do the magic for me. So here I am, and I go to the doctor who tells me the truth. In the doctor's opinion, I am utterly hopeless. And I never had a doctor say it, but I saw it in a lot of faces. And I began to feel it about myself. I didn't think I'd have to be under lock and key or hire a bodyguard, but I could definitely see a nursing home in my future. Someone said, you know, we have a common saying here at the end of the meetings, keep coming back, it works if you work it. Well, not only do you have to work it, you have to let it. I have to choose recovery. I have to choose to put the food down and walk over to my higher power. It's not so much that I put the food down as it is that I go to my higher power and I say, okay, God, you want me in this world? You want me alive? I need help. I can't do this. I heard someone describe program by saying, we pray for what we want. Then we take action to obtain it. And God fills in the gap between what I can do and what I can't do. If what I am asking for is in fact his will. So God's will for me today is that I recover. And to that end, I put my will and my life in his care and protection, and onward we go from there. Thank you so much for listening. I pass.
Don, we are not hearing you.
Oh, sorry about that. Now we'll have Carrie Jo C followed by Carrie G. Thank you so much, Janice K. Go ahead, Carrie Jo C.
Oh, good morning. Actually, it's Sherry Jo C. Sorry, it's hard to hear on my phone. Sherry Jo C in Southern California. Thank you. And thank you for the meeting this morning, Compulsive Eater. Yeah, I love this chapter and this particular set of paragraphs because on one hand it describes me and on the other hand it doesn't. I mean, in the big book, it does in other places talk about the different types of alcoholics or compulsive eaters. And I always have to laugh when I read this part about he seemed quite rational and well-balanced with respect to other problems. That part I do not necessarily identify with. I definitely wanted self-control, but even though I was so lost before I came to OA and started working the program, I still knew there was something really wrong with me, something broken on the inside. I by that point, I knew it wasn't just about self-control. And I don't think anybody said to me, yeah, you seem pretty normal. Otherwise, it was like I was kind of a wreck. It was more like I related to the part of the big book that talks about the bedevilments. Like I was a prey to misery and depression. My relationships were a wreck. I was having trouble making a living because I was binging all day at my job. And, you know, so the part like where it talks about the different types of alcoholics and it references that here. You know, I don't really relate to that. He had no control whatsoever over food. Well, that's for sure. I really didn't. And I didn't know why it was. I didn't understand until I came to OA. And at my very first meeting, I heard somebody talk about not having binged for 5 years and she didn't even want her quote-unquote trigger foods anymore. And that amazed me. I couldn't even believe it. I mean, I did feel utterly hopeless. And it wasn't until I came here that I heard people talking about having a reprieve, you know, that they didn't not only didn't do the behaviors anymore, but they didn't even want to do them anymore. And that was the part that I couldn't understand. I guess I knew it wasn't self-control only because even when I was quote unquote abstaining, which it wasn't really even abstinence before I came here, it was white knuckle. I knew it was white knuckle because I never had any mental peace. You know, even if I wasn't acting out the behaviors, I wasn't free from the mental obsession. And I knew that that's what always had pulled me back in, that I could swear off like nobody's business. You know, I relate to that part of the big book. I was the one who was always swearing off. Oh, this time it'll be different. Oh, this time I'm going to do this diet and it'll be fine. And sometimes I wouldn't even make it till lunch. Like I'd swear off in the morning and then I'd be binging before lunchtime even. So I knew it was like something really wrong inside me. And when I read in the big book, the part about, you know, the eating is just a symptom of deeper problems. Like I had this part of me that inside that just when I read that went, oh God, oh no, you know, but there was this other part of you was like, thank God, they get it. It is a symptom of deeper problems. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on inside of me. And so nothing really worked for me before this program. And I'm just really grateful for this meeting because of, you know, the strong commitment. Thank you. The strong commitment to abstinence, which I, you know, I'm just so grateful to be in, you know, ongoing remission from this disease. And thank you so much, everyone, for being here. Pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry Jo C. Carrie G., please share with us, followed by Kim L., and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Carrie G., recovered in Colorado, and so grateful. I didn't really think I was going to share on this paragraph because the ones coming up are so exciting, talking about spiritual experiences, but I'll speak to the utter hopelessness, which I've been taught is really the goal of the program for me to see my utter hopelessness because I have this twofold nature of the illness. You know, I do have a mental obsession. I have and I have a physical allergy. So when I can see and that I have this illness, the why here, you know, is why was this? Is, you know, the last sentence of that first paragraph, why was this? The why doesn't matter. It doesn't need to matter. And it just seems like when I noticed when I did come first into program, I wanted to, you know, blame my upbringing or, you know, my parents got divorced or, you know, I had all this trauma as a child. That doesn't matter. I think I can really start to understand and, you know, self-knowledge avails us nothing. You know, I understand that. But the goal of the program is to have that utter hopelessness. Like, it's step two. I have to come to believe in a power greater than myself. There's going to be hope in step two. So it really drives me to understand and accept that my higher power is taking the wheel when I am utterly hopeless. I need a power greater than myself to help me in my life. So I get out of the way and I can serve others and I can show up. And it's liberating, you know, because the way I think changes the way I act. Words have energy. And when I can say deep down in my heart, I'm always being taken care of, then I no longer need to drive the bus anymore. I can get out of the way and I can pause and pray and use my higher power instead of feeling so driven to control and manage my life and my food. So, you know, the food really was just there covering up the fact that, you know, God is really the best part of my life today. And I'm so, so grateful for just showing up. If you're new in program, find somebody you can, you know, take you through this book and work these steps. It really works without a passing.
Thank you so much, Carrie G. Kim L., please share with us, followed by Candy P. And if you're just joining us, a quick reminder, we're on page 26, the second paragraph. So he returned to this doctor, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, that was a great physician's opinion, and we're commenting on both paragraphs today. So Kim L., please share with us.
Hi, this is Kim L., calling from Alberta, Canada. And I'm fairly new to this program. I'm not new to OA, but I really wanted to share today. And what really pops up with this was for me when I have had this disease since I was born. I remember so young as being, you know, 1 year old and trying to get more and more syrup on my soother and manipulating it and stealing food and hiding it between my mattresses by 4 years old. And it was really hard for me to see that there was a problem with food because it existed in my life for so long. So I didn't know any difference. But the thing that eventually drove me to counseling by grade 8 was obsession. You know, it came out in many different ways, but I was completely had obsessive thinking that I couldn't control, and it was really, really painful. And in the meantime, I was doing diets, thinking there were two separate different problems. And I went to so many counselors, I can't even explain, and so many help groups and retreats and meditation and just so many different types of spirituality. And it's, you know, and it was sitting in the middle of Nepal in a retreat, in a Buddhist retreat, looking for a solution, which was going to be that I would go into isolation for 3 months, in silent isolation, and get close enough to God to deal with this problem, that I even found the Big Book in the middle of a monastery, which was so beautiful. Because there were texts there that many people would never have access to, but there was this Big Book there, and I realized really quickly, like, I wasn't like these people. And it was even in counseling, I couldn't get what I needed. I even had counselors say to me, maybe 12 steps doesn't work for everyone. And I really disagree, and I'm really grateful that I get to have the 12 steps, because it was only the 12 steps and people in these rooms that I ever got to understand what I really had. And I ever really felt like there was hope and that I ever had any sort of significant change. I'm not the person who gets change in these little retreats. I don't get it. And it was hard to admit that, but it was also really comforting to admit that, because I get what I need here. And I'm really grateful for the 12 steps and this program and my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim L. from Alberta, Canada. Candy P., please share with us, followed by Robin Jo P.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Candy.
Hi. This is my first time sharing, and I do have a vocal disorder, which keeps me from sharing, but I decided to just get over myself. And that's part of what program has taught me. And these two chapters really rang a bell, because I was blessed in that I was going to a therapist who was a 12-step person, and she introduced me to program. And I was in program from 2008, yet I was still a restrainer and then a nighttime bear. And this coming October will be 2 years that I found a sponsor who's a vision person, and it's made all the difference in my life and my personality. So if there are any newcomers listening, I want to encourage them to stick with it, because it's not just about the food. It's what the food does to your personality and how you're in a fog and you don't really think straight and you're more or less self-obsessed. And I have learned through vision and with my sponsor's help to think of others, to go out there in the community. And I still have a therapist, but she's not a 12-step person. My original therapist moved. And although my therapist is helpful, she doesn't get it. And when I talk about my character defects, she only thinks I'm being self-deprecating and doesn't realize how it contributes to my food issues. So I'm just very grateful for vision and that you are all here every day. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Candy P., for sharing. And now, Robin Jo B., please share with us, followed by Kim T., and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Go ahead, Robin Jo B.
Yes, thank you so much. It is Robin Jo B. in Missouri. I have nothing profound to offer to any of you. I just feel the need to share. I need to hear my own voice when I'm saying some things. So I need to, you know, just hear myself admitting that I am powerless, and you know, that God is so good. And I've been in program since 2010, and it's been quite a ride. And these last few months have been a lot of family stuff. And I just love that, you know, when I came to program, it was all about the food and the weight and the body image and just vanity, vanity, vanity. And it is more about sanity these days. I'm practicing these principles in all my affairs, and it is just, I can't even imagine going through these last 5 or 6 months without program. And just knowing that there is no human aid, nothing I tried everything. I tried everything, and I would pray, you know, God, I just need one person to go through this with, you know, one faithful person to do this deal with me. I just need a diet that I can stick with. I just need someone to tell me, you know, what to eat and when to eat it. And that's exactly what I have with this program. Not only do I have only one person, but I have thousands of you, and I listen every morning, and I love you all. And yeah, I just wanted to say it works if you work it, and you're worth it. So work it. You know, we're worth it. Each and every one of us, we're worth this. And nothing that I am doing now is harder than living in the food and the fat. I can look at not being able to have my popcorn and my biscuits and all that. I can mourn that, or I can rejoice that I get to have all of this beautiful food that God made. Oh my gosh, it's unperverted food. You know, the world just perverts everything, and we've even perverted food. And God created all these beautiful foods, and it's beautiful, and I love them. And I actually feel sorry for people that don't love my abstinent food like I do. And just, God is so good and faithful, and
time.
Yeah, I thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin Joe B. from Missouri. Kim T., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names.
Thanks,
go ahead,
John.
Kim.
Hi, thank you. This is Kim T., and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be here. What was I going to say about these paragraphs? Self-control is something I have never had when it pertains to food, and there's definitely certain foods that are worse than others. And I grew up, you know, in an environment where it was sweets. You know, oh, you have a sweet tooth. You have a sweet tooth. Oh, I have a sweet tooth too, Kim. I have a sweet tooth too. And yeah, I mean, to some point that is true. But my sweet tooth went to multiple teeth, and, you know, I don't even know what to say about that. Anyway, the point that what I was thinking of this morning is with food, and I'm not dismissing how difficult it would be to give up alcohol if I was an alcoholic, but, you know, sometimes with food, people are like, oh, come on, just have one. It's nothing. It's just food. And then as I read this morning, I'm thinking, why don't, you know, periodically those thoughts still come back in my head. Why can't I just control my food? And I can't. And the why doesn't matter. There's even a why in that first paragraph. Why was this? Why don't I have any control whatsoever over alcohol or food in my case? Why was this? It doesn't matter. That's the answer to the why. It just doesn't slip in manner. And I tried for decades to find an answer to that question, and I wish somebody would have told me at one point, but my journey is my journey. And then lastly, I want to say, in the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. I never had a doctor or anything deem me hopeless because I don't know, for a number of reasons, but I had people in my life look at me, especially, you know, people that were really close to me, and I could see in their eyes that they thought I was beyond human aid, and I was. And I still am, unless I'm connected into God via these 12 steps. It's a great way to live. It's a great way to live. And today I was feeling disconnected. I went out for my morning walk, and I just felt so disconnected. So I'm glad to be babbling on here, and I'm grateful for everyone that gives service at this meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kim T. And we are on page 26, the second paragraph. So he returned to this doctor, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, that was a great physician's opinion. So we're commenting on both paragraphs this morning, and I would now like to take the names of people who would like to share on these two paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Jillian M.
Joanne M.
Kaya P. Ann M.
Ann M.
Betsy O.
Betsy L. Okay, let's start with that. Joanne M., Kaya P., Ann M., and Betsy L. Joanne M., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Jillian. It's spelled with a G, G-I-L-L-I-A-N, Jillian M. from Pennsylvania. These two paragraphs this morning just remind me of my life prior to coming to program, just utterly defeated by the food. I tried for years and years so many different things, some that worked better than others, but ultimately I couldn't maintain any weight loss. I couldn't stick with any program, any food plan, because I didn't have, you know, the self-control to do so on a long-term basis. And I didn't understand the problem until I came to this meeting. And the problem is that I just don't have any power to maintain a healthy body weight without this program. And so when I came to this program and I learned about what the truth is, like the whole truth is that I don't have the power and I need a power greater than myself. That was news to me. and I worked this program even though I didn't really fully understand it. And that was 2 years ago. I came in 2 years ago in July and have been abstinent since and released a lot of weight. And I'm, you know, working towards, I have a much healthier body. And beyond that, I just have a much healthier life. And the way that I live my life is so different than before. This program has given me a solution not only to my food, but also to my life. And I'm just, I have the tools to manage life, which I didn't have before. So I'm just so grateful and just grateful to be with you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jillian M. from Pennsylvania. Kaya P., please share with us, followed by Ann M.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kaya P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And hang on, I'm just going to put myself off my AirPod by my ear. My name is Kaya P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. And I live in Colorado. Well, first of all, I just want to welcome anyone who's new. It can be a little overwhelming. You know, it can be a little overwhelming or a lot overwhelming. I know it was for me when I first came many years ago to OA, which I'm so grateful for, that I found this place. I did run out of my first meeting, though, because they talked about God. But I did come back, and that word doesn't scare me anymore. In fact, it's a welcomed word that I spend time with God in the morning. But I had to find an understanding that I just had to come to believe, like it talks about. So if you're new, please come back, because there really is a solution here. And I think what I've come to realize is that when it comes to food, when it comes to food behaviors, I can't control it. I just can't, right? What's the definition of control, of powerless? When I can't stop doing something that I want to stop doing, or I can't stay stopped. And that's what I found, no matter what I did, no matter what I tried. That doesn't mean we have a monopoly. The book tells us we don't have a monopoly on this. It says, go ahead, keep trying. That'll teach you. But you know what? Eventually it was, there's nothing else for me to do except pick up this kit of spiritual tools laid at my feet. And we really, really, really do have a solution here. And I was talking to a fellow yesterday, and it's like, you know, it's
I have to be, I'm going to serve a master. It's which master am I serving? Am I going to serve a loving creator that allows me to live a life where I can be of help to others and I can have color, you know, I can see in color instead of black and white? Or am I going to serve food and exercise and body weight? That's the choice. I don't think it's a matter of, well, I'm going to, you know, freedom isn't free. And we really, really, really do have a solution. And it doesn't mean that outside things, is that my time? I heard something. It doesn't mean that outside things aren't helpful. This place is not going to help me with certain things that are outside of, you know, this illness. But it allows me to be available and open and clear-headed. Thank you, so that I can get the help I need when I need it. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Haya P. from Colorado. Ann M., please share with us, followed by Betsy L. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Thank you, moderator, and everybody doing service and everybody on the line. My name is Ann M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Southern California, and being defeated by food is not something that's a remote memory for me. I'm working with a sponsor, and I'm about, well, today is, I think it's the seventh, so I'm 7 days clean with my food. And I guess I just wanted to share just share in my also apprehension that it's so weird how this program does work. And it doesn't matter how many friggin' decades I've been around. Like, if I can do it and connect with somebody, I guess the thing for me is I'm committing to my food ahead of time, which I've never in decades of recovery been willing to do. And I wanted to share what that's, by being willing to do that, what that's done for me is I've just spent so long being like, I'll clean it up tomorrow. And today was never where the good things happened with food. It was always tomorrow. I mean, it's exactly what the big book says everywhere. And in committing my food ahead of time, suddenly, the whole formula is flipped. I'm now in today, just like, I'm just going to get through today, meaning do the things that I've said I'm going to do. And then if my head wants to dance around and think about, what about this or that? It's like, I'll do that tomorrow. And that is the way I want the whole formula to work. You know, you hear about people long-time sobriety in AA, and maybe they've not been drinking for most of their lives now. And if they have to, they'll tell themselves, I'll drink tomorrow. And that is how I need to be with my – and I don't want to do that tomorrow. I want to be able to eat clean. And I just – the fact that I'm now living in today with my food, it's totally because of this program and connecting with another person. It feels really miraculous. And down to like everything that I don't want to do, I had to call three people yesterday, and the third person was like, I don't want to do it. And then I called and I just got something that I really needed. So I'm here to just say, like, my thinking needs to go like out the window, you know, I mean, not entirely, but I need to be guided by what I need to do in this program so that I can stay in a place. Right now, I'm neutral with food. Like, that's the total miracle. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Ann M. from California. Betsy L., please share with us.
It's Bessie, B-E-S-S-I-E-O, and I'm from Colorado. Thank you for letting me share. I wanted to focus, what strikes me in this passage today is he seemed quite rational and well-balanced with respect to other problems. And, you know, that has been a real barrier in my recovery because I can't see the truth. So clinging to this idea of, you know, look at how accomplished I am, look how good I am, has been a real barrier. And it's only with, I mean, I remember when I was first introduced the Big Book, I thought, this is ludicrous. This is not me, you know. And it, you know, it took putting down the food and working through these steps to see how, you know, irrational and not well balanced I was with all of my problems. And then the other part of this passage is he wished above all things to regain self-control. And, you know, that question of like, why am I here? You know, why am I doing this? Well, it starts with, I don't want to binge and restrict and, you know, be a slave to this compulsive disease of compulsive overeating. And then, you know, I remember my husband and I saw a marriage therapist and she talked about this bowl, you know, and you put more and more things in this bowl and it just becomes more and more precious. And that's so that's like the start, you know, the start is I don't want to binge and restrict. I don't want to do that anymore, you know, and then we recover and there's just all of this, life just becomes so rich and precious, you know, and we can walk through anything. And so I'm just so grateful that, you know, that seeing that, seeing my disease for what it is and being able to detect the subtle voice of my disease, which, you know, only comes through working this program every single day. And it speaks to me in words like, hey, Bessie, try this nutritious food, you know, that you're making for your family. That's how my disease talks to me. And you know, it starts with that. And then it just, you know, I'm kind of getting scattered, but I'm going to pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Bessie O from Colorado. And I do have time for a two-minute share if someone would like to take that and hasn't shared in the last 3 days. Press star one if you'd like to share.
Hi, I'm Nina.
Nina, go ahead and share with us.
Okay. Hi, I'm Nina S., and I've been listening to Visions for over 2 years and I've never shared. So I just thought today, why not do it? I just wanted to say how much I appreciate Visions and everyone on this line. And I just feel a lot of gratitude that I, like, through the gift of desperation, I've been given the opportunity to work the steps, and in particular to really be involved with the Big Book just completely changed and is changing my recovery after, I mean, what I've heard from a lot of other people after years of other time in OA and stuff. I'm just really grateful today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nina S., for sharing with us. We really value hearing your voice. And with that, we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dion R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Press star one, Dion R.
Thank you, Don. Star One Health. Thank you all for sharing today and allow me to be of service. Thank you. This book, our book, is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact. Abandon yourself to God as you understand. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Be free of what you find and join us. We shall be with you, fellowship of the Spirit, you were surely in some of us as we spread the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you. Thank you.